WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media Station.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Options for residents in the path of Hurricane Milton shrinking as the catastrophic hurricane barrels towards Florida's west coast. Expected to hit later tonight in the Tampa area, Hillsborough County Emergency Management Director Timothy Dudley with this message.
You all should be somewhere safe by now. But if you're not, you need to get there now.
While people are getting out, resources are pouring in. President Biden, in a briefing, says he's made all federal aid available ahead of Milton. FEMA's director administrator says that, in addition, they've also brought in 500 ambulances stationing in the Tampa Bay area. Earlier, the president held his first call with Israel's prime minister in weeks. It comes as Israel expands ground operations in Lebanon and weighs options on its response to Iran's missile attacks last week. Election day, now less than a month away. Early voting started today in Arizona. GOP VP nominee J.D. Vance is in Arizona to campaign there today. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A little more than half of Wisconsin students who took the state's main standardized test last spring met or exceeded grade-level expectations in English, language arts, and math. But it's hard to compare the results of last year's forward exam because the Department of Public Instruction changed the scoring system. Lead pipes cause all kinds of health problems for Americans. In Wisconsin yesterday, President Biden announced a new rule to require local water systems to get rid of their lead pipes in 10 years.
Saving hundreds of thousands of mothers and infants from low birth weights and children with lasting brain damage. Protecting more than 1,000 adults from premature death from heart disease every single year because of lead.
The president was in Milwaukee yesterday. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Now here's what you need to know closer to home. Property taxes in Madison could go up no matter what happens with the $22 million referendum next month. Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway is out with two versions of next year's operating budget. If the referendum passes, the owner of a roughly $500,000 home would see their city tax bill go up by about $313. If the referendum fails, the same homeowner would pay around $83 more. That takes into account higher home values. Wausau's absentee ballot drop box is back, but the public's trust is gone. That's what Nick Ramos of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign tells Civic Media's Chad Holmes.
And there's people out there that want to be able to return their ballots, and they might not be able to go do that now because you just took away a very safe and secure method because of this big lie.
Wisconsin Justice Department is looking into whether Doug Dinney broke any laws. Dinney maintains he had the right to move the box. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell. This is WMDX News.
The Bucks getting ready. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks host the LA Lakers tomorrow night at Fiserv Forum, but Chris Middleton will not play in the preseason game after having surgery on both of his ankles.
Yeah, it's just listening to my body, knowing, you know, my limits, knowing what pain is, knowing what you can play through and what is not smart playing through. You know, I've been through similar situations. I'm always going to be learning something about myself and my body as I go on.
Baseball, Bally Sports Wisconsin no longer will broadcast Brewer games on TV, so the team says they're moving to the MLB Network. President Rick Schlesinger.
Yeah, you're going to be able to turn your cable TV on, and you're going to be able to go to the Brewers TV channel. It may be a different channel than what it was last year, but it'll be easily accessible. So from that perspective, no change other than, I think, a great quality programming experience. And if you are somebody who doesn't have cable and satellite and you want to watch Brewers games, you're going to have an opportunity to buy a subscription to a direct-to-consumer streaming service, which is going to be first-rate quality.
That's Brewers President Rick Schlesinger. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Super sunny today and quite comfortable as highs flirt with 70 degrees with calm southeast winds. A few clouds filter in here tonight as lows fall to the mid-40s. And for tomorrow, another day filled with a ton of sunshine and unseasonable warmth as we spike to highs in the upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 64.
The John and Gordy Show.
When you lose a drop box, you lose votes.
You know, what he is doing here is really eroding confidence in our elections. The darn thing is more secure than a U.S. mailbox. Yeah, I'm going to put this very bluntly.
Yeah.
There are so many cameras in the downtown area. I don't think you could walk down the street and scratch your butt without somebody seeing it.
Oh, well, I'll keep that in mind next time I'm there because I do that a lot.
Weekday mornings, 6 till 8 on 92.7 WMDX. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Bill Carroll, president of Teamsters Joint Council 389, based here in Milwaukee. They have endorsed Vice President Kamala Harris and Governor Tim Walz for president and vice president.
Trump offers nothing to a regular working class person. Talking about not taxing tips and not taxing overtime. Well, you don't have to tax overtime if there is no more overtime. That's in his Project 2025.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome former Milwaukee police officer and founder of the Cops and Writers website, Patrick O'Donnell, and WGBW producer and social media expert, Amanda Nimmer, joins the show.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
A new choice. Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with the outstanding Mr. Aaron Zommers on the board, producing and engineering. It is 6 past the hour of 1 o'clock. Welcome into hour number 2 of the big program. It is Wednesday, October 9th, 2024. It is
Pump Day.
There you go. The Geico Camel sounding better than me. A little, the allergies are up and coming here. The fallout, my voice is kind of going.
Oh, yeah. It's been hitting me pretty hard. Luckily, not in the middle of the day, but in the mornings and the evenings, just my nose is a fire hose.
Yeah. So, that's not pleasant, Mr. Zommers.
No, it's not.
You don't want that at all. What's your allergy med of choice?
I take Allegra every day, or Fexofenadine is the generic name.
God bless you.
Thank you.
I'm Claritin and Fluticasone, the spray, the steroid. Mm-hmm.
That's a good one. I used to be a pharmacy tech for those of you who don't know. A lot of people get prescribed which you can also buy over the counter. Some insurances will cover it really well, and so getting prescribed Fluticasone might be better. But it's a very commonly used. Steroids are not always bad.
No, they're not. In my case, my muscles have not gotten any bigger, but my allergies are better. Here's a hitherto unknown fact. And Mr. Zommers, dial up a little what's worse. We'll get that out of the way in a second here, if you would, please. Hitherto unknown fact, as my former teacher, Ken Lewis, is fond of saying, and this is true, not as Joe Biden says, I'm not joking around here. There's no joke. I got cataract surgery a couple years ago. Had to get cataract surgery, remove cataracts in both eyes in my early 50s.
Not fun.
And the doctor, the optometrist or whatever you want to call him, ophthalmologist or the eye doc, he said, you're pretty young to have cataracts, and started looking back at my history and figured out that there was a large portion of my life because of my ongoing allergy problems where I was taking, 2 to 4 hits of Fluticasone for like 3 months in a row every day.
That's the thing about steroids is you should not use them continuously without talking to your doctor.
Yes, I found that out. And they believe that my cataracts were caused in large part by the overuse of the steroids of the Fluticasone. Yep. Now, don't everybody, oh my gosh, I can't use Fluticasone now, I'm going to get cataracts. No, in my case, it was like I was using it twice a day in both nostrils every day for like 3 months in a row. 4 months in a row, and then it would take a couple of months off, and then back when my allergies came back. The good news is, once you get cataract surgery, now I'm back on the Fluticasone because cataracts don't come back.
That's good, at least.
So, yeah. There's your information here. All right, here we go. Time once again at 9 past the hour, 1 o'clock. What's worse? This or that. Tonight, once again, for what's worse, no prize money involved, you will not win a gift. It is only your opportunity. But what do you want more than your voice being heard, your opinion across statewide radio here on the Civic Media Radio Network? Timely, timely indeed. Second time I've used that phrase from Mike Lucas, by the way, today. But it's in vogue right now. People are talking about it. Many people are saying. Here's the what's worse for today. What's worse, spring allergies or fall allergies? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. What's worse, spring allergies or fall allergies? Give us a call, 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Or text us on the Civic Media app. If you don't have it, you can download it today. Simply go to your app store, Apple or Android device, type in Civic, C-I-V-I-C, Media. It'll pop up. Click it. Takes less than a minute. It is free, gratis, $0. That's what Gail King calls a deal. I think I could get Gail just to say that once.
I mean, you could try.
What's worse, fall allergies or spring allergies? As I've gotten older, I get both now. It used to just be fall allergies, like goldenrod and that kind of stuff. And now it's pretty much any pollen. So there's like a month in the middle of the summer where I don't have allergies. And then there's like, you know, January to early March. Other than that, it seems like as I've gotten older, I've always had allergies. But what's worse, spring allergies or fall allergies? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. While we're waiting for people to call in on that, and we hope to hear at some point today in this hour from Trygve Olsen, but if not, it's fine. He's a busy guy. He's traveling. So as I well know, sometimes you get lost in or sent to the Atlanta airport with no electricity. So we might hear from Trygve a little bit later. Matt, listening on WRCE in Richland Center, our great UPS friend, says, fall allergies by a mile. I'm freaking out. I've taken fluticasone every day for about 3 years. Wow. Well, as we said, consult with your doctor, Matt.
But yeah, don't freak out. But I would, next time you have a checkup, I would bring it up with a doctor, be like, hey, do you think this is going to cause any problems? Because everybody is different. And there are a lot of factors.
Yeah. And neither one of us are doctors. We can't give medical advice exactly here. And everybody's body is different, as it turns out. So discuss it with your doctor. What happened to me might not necessarily happen to you.
Yes. And working in a pharmacy, I've seen plenty of prescriptions come through for fluticasone and other steroids that are like, yep, use it every day. Totally fine for this patient. And other ones who come in, it's like, nope, you need to use this extremely sparingly. Like, it really depends. For most people, you'll be fine.
Yeah. So don't worry about it too much, Matt. But it's just, I mean, I'm like you. I especially now back in radio. And honestly, that was one of the things that really, in my mind, concerned me about getting back into radio. Because I'm like, man, with my allergies, if my voice really gets messed up, that's not going to work out so well. And so, like, unfortunately, I do. There are days when I make a decision where, like, I would love to go out and do that outside, but I'm going to be too messed up to be on the air as far as my voice and whatever. So I stay in and try to avoid it in the worst parts of the day or worst parts of the year. Dave, listening in New Berlin, Dave says, a wife with allergies sucks. Okay, well, it probably sucks more for your wife than it does for you, but I don't know. Yeah, it's no fun for anybody. What's worse, spring allergies or fall allergies? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842, or text us on the Civic Media app. Listener in WAUK down in Waukesha says, goldenrod is not a cause of allergies, but ragweed is. Wow.
They both are, right, just in different times of the year. Goldenrod is releasing all its pollen in spring, whereas ragweed is in the fall, so it depends on the time of year, but they're both very common allergies.
My grandma used to sing a song. The goldenrod is yellow. The corn is turning brown. I can't remember the rest of it right now, but I don't know. Goldenrod seemed to be a cause for me, but okay, we'll take it face value there. What's worse, spring allergies or fall allergies? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Let's go to the fold lines here. We will keep it in Madison on WMDX, the station, the main station of the world headquarters. Kurt, listening in Madison. Kurt, what's worse, fall allergies or spring allergies?
Well, my argument would be fall is worse, and that's because I do most of my hiking and my photography in the air.
Yeah.
Spring is always wet, muddy, and messy, so who cares?
Right? That's a good point. I'm more of a, you're right. I am more of a hiker, a walker in the fall. And I think a lot of people, to your point, you know, the colors and everything are so beautiful. You want to go to the pumpkin patches, the corn mazes, there's football games. I think people are out more in the fall. So that's a great point. Do you do a lot of, do you like landscape photography or wildlife or what?
I actually, when I got out of high school, I went to METC photography and I studied Ansel Adams.
Oh, wow.
Which I never got good enough to make a living at. Mm-hmm. That's a difficult skill to obtain. But anyway, most of my photography, yes, is landscape.
Wow.
Not too much animals, but I love looking for abstract shadows, crossing between rocks and trees and roots and leaves.
That's super cool. I am a very amateur, and I put emphasis on very amateur. I'm more of an appreciator of photography, and then I take a couple of shots to try to recreate it. But I'm with you. A talented photographer that has a certain eye. One of the people I've gotten to know over the years, a former photographer for the Wisconsin State Journal, Joseph Jackson III. And he's a guy that did so many great photographs for the State Journal over the years of politicians, of candidates, of singers coming to Madison. And he just has that knack to have a camera in his hand and know the moment to take a photograph that captures a scene and really epitomizes that old phrase that a photograph is worth a thousand words. And people like that are just amazingly gifted, in my opinion, Kurt.
Yeah, that's why I go to Art on the Square. It gives you a chance to see some incredible photography.
Yeah, it really, really does. Well, thank you for the call, Kurt, and good luck with those fall allergies. I'm right with you, my friend. 855-752-4842. What's worse, fall allergies or spring allergies? 855-752-4842. Michael, listening in West Bend on WAUK, says, my three-year-old has fall allergies. It is awful. Wow, he actually gets bloody noses. It's very unpleasant to wake up to in a bloodbath. Ugh, I rarely have gotten it bad enough where it affects me to where I'm bleeding. But I know some people do, and that's just not fun at all. Liz, listening here in Dane County in Sun Prairie on WMDX, says, spring for sure. My eyes itch so uncontrollably that I must end up breaking a tiny membrane or something in my eye, and I end up with bloody tears. Oh, my gosh.
That sounds not fun at all.
Bloody tears. I walked in on Monday, and Luke Mathers goes, did you get a black eye? Did you get in a fight or what? Like, why? What? Well, I don't know. I think it's a combination of allergies and and maybe a little stress, quite frankly. And my one eye was all puffy and kind of swollen, and then it's gone away. So, yeah, not fun. I'm going to declare this one a tie. I think that depending upon who you are, spring and fall allergies are equally as bad, Mr.
Yes,
Zombie.
Yes, absolutely.
Come on back. Talk about CBS journalism and the news. It's the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
This is an important announcement for Wisconsinites who plan to vote in the November 2024 election. Leading nonpartisan economists have analyzed the economic plans of Donald Trump and concluded that he would cause inflation to rise and the economy to slow. And 16 Nobel Prize-winning economists wrote a letter warning that Donald Trump would reignite inflation with his fiscally irresponsible budgets. Donald Trump's tariff plan would act as a national sales tax, costing the average family as much as $4,000 per year. But Vice President Kamala Harris's plan would help middle-class families deal with rising costs. In her first 100 days, Kamala Harris would pass a ban on price gouging at the grocery store. And as vice president, she worked to cap the cost of many prescription drugs, including insulin, saving many families thousands of dollars per year. On the economy, the choice is clear. Vote Kamala Harris for president. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together Action, www.abwt-action.org. Not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Now, if you're leaving a job, unless it's like truly a terrible worst case scenario, it's a good practice to leave your job on the best terms possible. I mean, you never know what or who you might need later. So here are my four steps for leaving a job without burning a bridge. Number one, start by talking first to your direct manager. Now, you don't have to go into great detail about why you're leaving or what you're going to do next, but a when you're leaving and some version of a why should be in there. And 2 weeks' notice is the polite minimum standard for leaving a job. Step two, email your resignation to HR and include your end date. Step three, now if you are a manager, your direct reports should be the next folks you talk to after you and your boss have put together a plan. And finally, do the best work you can so you leave on the best terms possible. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
This is Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Town Hall Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Glad to have you along with us on a Wednesday, October 9th, 2024. Wanted to go to an overlooked story, I feel. Not a lot of people talking about this, and as my friends and family will tell you, I am somebody who works in the media who is obsessed with media. I'm also a victim of marketing. My buddy Alex down in Texas, he used to tell me, you know more about marketing than anybody else, and yet you fall victim to it more than anybody else I know.
Yeah, that's the thing that really interests
and
me.
And he's 100% right.
He is. That's the thing that always interests me is some people will go and look at a commercial and they'll be like, oh, they're using this tactic. Good, right. Nice try. But you'll be like, oh, they're using this tactic. Let's go. Right. I'm buying it.
That's exactly the way I am. I'm not going to lie about it. No reason to. And so I bring you this story today, and maybe it's me, but I think some people will find this interesting. I hope so. And I think it's particularly pertinent in these last 4 weeks or so of the election leading up to November 5th. We've talked on this program before about media, of course, which we and I are a part of. And the fact that Fox News had to admit under oath in court during the whole Dominion voting lawsuit where Dominion voting machines sued Fox News for knowingly spreading lies about the 2020 election. It was proven in court. People like Sean Hannity and others had to testify under oath in depositions that they knew Trump had lost. They knew it was a free and fair election, but their shows are entertainment, so they perpetuated the lie to get ratings to earn more money from advertisers. So Fox News is admittedly an entertainment network. It's really not a news network. There are more, we'll call them legacy media, CBS News, NBC, ABC, the Associated Press, National Public Radio, more recently CNN, places like that, who at least, you know, say they are non-biased or straight down the middle news organizations. CBS News has a long history, one of the earliest news organizations, and many people will remember the name of Edward R. Murrow, a great particularly a radio broadcaster. Walter Cronkite, who legendary anchor of the CBS Evening News, managing editor. More recently, somebody like Susan Zelensky, who has been a part of CBS News and still is, served for a short time as president of CBS News. Ever seen the movie Broadcast News? Holly Hunter? Jack Nicholson was in that. It's pretty old now. But that was about integrity in the news business, that people went to school for journalism. And there is a high ethics standard for journalism. And you're supposed to be always probing if you're a journalist to get the truth. So it was of great interest to me to see this story. According to Puck News, CBS News has been roiling after a CBS morning interview in which anchor Tony DeCoppo pressed, and I apologize if I get the pronunciation of this name wrong, I'm not familiar with the individual, I'm going to say it's Ta-Nehisi Coates, over his pro-Palestinian framing of Israel-Palestinian conflict. The interview was celebrated by many, calling it, quote, tense and substantive, per the Washington Post. But, it goes on, some were angered at CBS, who felt Tony DeCoppo brought his own bias. And yesterday morning, CBS News leaders Wendy McMahon and Adrian Rourke told staff that the interview did not meet editorial standards of impartiality, though they declined to elaborate on how or why. And then they tried to move on. And that's when CBS News chief legal correspondent Jan Crawford spoke up. And we're going to play you this clip. Maybe not this, it's like 4 minutes long or 5 minutes long, but we're going to play you a good portion of this after the break here at the bottom of the hour. Because I think it's really, really important. I want to read you the first sentence here, what Jan Crawford said. And I don't know how this got leaked. I'm assuming somebody at CBS, because it was one of these. And we have them here at Civic Media. Because not everybody, you know, works in a newsroom anymore altogether. People are spread out all over. And so you have these meetings now via Zoom. I think it's, Mr. Zombers, I think it's a great reminder for me and us to, you know, my boss Dale Schultz used to say this when I was in the legislature. He used to tell us, do not say or write anything that you would not want to see on the front page of the Wisconsin State Journal. And it was great advice.
It is. I mean, well, we're in media. Right. So we're already, right now, anything we say
right.
is public. So we should kind of expect everything to be recorded.
But when you're on an internal meeting and you're not all in the same room, you don't know who has a recorder going somewhere else. So apparently that's what happened here in this all-news meeting of CBS. Crawford says this on the tape, quote, I don't even understand how Tony's interview failed to meet our editorial standards. I thought our commitment was to truth. When someone comes on our air with a one-sided argument of a very complex situation, which Coach himself acknowledges that he has, Crawford said, it's my understanding that as a journalist, we are obligated to challenge that worldview so that our viewers can have access to the truth and can have a more balanced account. And it goes on from there. We're going to play you Jan Crawford in her own words on the other side. I think this is particularly interesting and timely because here you have a legacy company like CBS News, which of course has been now combined CBS with Paramount Global, and they're in the middle of a new buyout. And you have a obviously a controversial subject like what's happening between Israel and Palestine. And the interviewer, Tony DeCoppo, since one guy it has a one-sided view, simply says, can I get clarification, you know, and kind of pushes back. Why wouldn't a legacy news organization want that kind of reporting? We'll discuss it on the other side. Don't go anywhere. Play it the cut as well. You're listening to the Todd Allball Show, and you're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
A voice for Madison, real news and great conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin Supreme Court justices are considering the governor's expansive partial veto power. The High Court heard oral arguments today in a case over Governor Evers' line-item veto last year that increased public school spending for 400 years. Wisconsin governors have some of the most sweeping veto powers in the nation, but justices seemed unsure if or how they should rein them in. College students are bucking old trends for low voter turnout. There was a 14 percentage point jump from 2016 to 2020. Young voters say they're motivated by issues like the environment, reproductive rights, and gun safety.
We've been seeing significant numbers of 18 to 24-year-olds now voting in not only presidential elections, but in midterms.
John Marcus reports on higher education for the Heisinger Report. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home. Next year's big Coldplay show in Madison begs the question, why hasn't there been a concert at Camp Randall Stadium in 27 years? Music promoters and tourism officials say there are a lot of reasons. Bigger shows tend to go to Chicago, Milwaukee, and the Twin Cities because they're more likely to sell out there. It's also tricky to get a venue, a promoter, and a touring act together at the same time. The University of Wisconsin Athletic Department is wading back into live music because of the changing economics of college sports. Democratic running mate Tim Walz's wife Gwen campaigns in South Central Wisconsin today. She has stops in Madison and Beloit. Meanwhile, Senator Bernie Sanders will stump for Kamala Harris in Baraboo on Saturday. First Lady Jill Biden campaigns for Harris in Madison on Monday. All the Democratic surrogates are expected to talk about reproductive rights, the economy, and preserving democracy. Election Day is less than a month away. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is WMDX News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Despite being married to the star of Sex and the City, Mr. Sarah Jessica Parker, Matthew Broderick says there are guest roles he had no problem turning down when offered so the two could work together. One role in particular the actor turned down was that of a premature, sort of sounds like miscalculator. Hey, that actually kind of makes sense. The New York Post reports that Parker says the couple doesn't work together because why would they? Stating a desire to keep their personal and professional lives separate. It's official. Taylor Swift is the richest female musician in the world. To be honest, I couldn't believe she wasn't already. Forbes reports that the 34-year-old megastar has a net worth of $1.6 billion. That's impressive enough, but she officially became a billionaire just last fall, so the cash is still rolling in. Swift surpassed the former richest female musician, Rihanna, who has a net worth of a measly $1.4 billion. Sounds like Taylor can officially stop waitressing. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Super sunny today and quite comfortable as highs flirt with 70 degrees with calm southeast winds. A few clouds filter in here tonight as lows fall to the mid-40s. And for tomorrow, another day filled with a ton of sunshine and unseasonable warmth as we spike to highs in the upper 70s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, 66 degrees.
I'm John.
I'm Gordy.
Join us for the John and Gordy Show 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays.
Right here on WMDX Bad Radio in Madison.
Your family won't want to miss the shindig, hullabaloo, and politics.
John and Gordy Show weekday morning 6 to 8 a.m. right here.
Matt Nair on air.
The vice presidential debate. Mike from Kenosha is on the line.
Isn't it the whole purpose of a debate to be on television for the public benefit? The narrative, questions, fact-checking, it's inconsistent at best.
You're absolutely right, Mike. Mainstream media is bailing massively by trying to both sides everything and sane wash everything.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays at 11 on 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
John Peterson and Gordy Young.
On our next show, we'll talk to Nick Ramos from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign.
And we'll have a follow-up on the hurricane in Florida.
Join us.
The John and Gordy Show, weekday mornings 6 till 8.
wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 34 minutes now past the hour of 1 o'clock on Wednesday, October 9th, 2024. Mr. Zommer's on the board, as per usual, asking the question this segment. I guess I'll just ask it openly. I don't want to tilt the answers, I guess. Do you believe that there is a pointed bias in legacy news media? I'm not talking about more overt ones such as Fox. And I know I'll get some argument over this, but I would argue that by and large, MSNBC, while they have a lot of great legit reporting, I would say many of their analysts and hosts are more overtly on the left. But I'm talking about CBS, NBC, ABC. Do you believe that those legacy news media channels are overtly political or one-sided? Or do you think by the large most part, they do a good job of getting it right and being down the middle? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Make it easy for you. 855-75-CIVIC. You could also text us on the Civic Media app. Story breaking over the last couple of days here. On CBS Mornings, which regular viewers of this program and listeners know that I am a fan of, or at least a viewer of. For a long, long time, I was a Good Morning America fan back in, David Hartman, Joan London. And then you had Diane Sawyer and Charlie Gibson, and then Robin Roberts. I love Robin Roberts. But it became very like, and nothing wrong with a good cooking segment, don't get me wrong, but it became a lot of fluff. My former writing partner and colleague at the state capitol, Jonathan Klein, we used to do a lot of things together writing-wise, and we would call it fluff and stuff because he would bring the stuff, all the facts, and I would have fluff, kind of the oratory overtones. And it worked great, fluff and stuff. But the morning news on ABC, to me, got a lot more fluff and not enough stuff. And so in 2011 or 2012, they hired Charlie Rose. And yes, I know he has his own trouble with the Me Too movement, and I certainly condemn that. But this is before that became known, all right? In 2011, 2012, Charlie Rose came on board. He had the great program, the Charlie Rose Show, or whatever it was called, on public television, in which he just sat down with people around a round table, and talked. And so that's where the round table at CBS This Morning, when it was first overhauled in 2011, 2012, and she had Charlie Rose and Nora O'Donnell, and then in the second hour, they would bring in Gail King. And it was focused on less fluff and more stuff and real conversations. And that's really what I started watching all the time. Well, now, of course, you've got Gail King as the main anchor and Nora O'Donnell left for the evening news, and Charlie Rose got canned as he should have. And now you got Gail King and Tony DeCoppel and Nate Burleson. And they do a fine job. I think they moved to more fluff instead of the stuff, but that's beside the point. So this interview last week, one of the co-anchors, Tony DeCoppel, doing the interview with this author who wrote a book with a decidedly point of view that was pro-Palestine. And I don't want to get into that right now. That's not the issue here. The issue isn't the Israeli side or the Palestinian side. The point is that this particular interviewee had a very one-sided point of view. And so Tony DeCoppel asked the question of the author and said, quote, why leave out that Israel is surrounded by countries that want to eliminate it? And he goes on to say, look, I have to say, when I read the book, I imagine if I took your name out of it, took away the awards, the acclaim, the content of that section would not be out of place in the backpack of an extremist, unquote. So all he was doing, in my opinion, Tony DeCoppel, was saying, look, you're giving one side of this. I'm just asking, why did you leave out the other side? And, the author was free to say, because I don't feel there is the other two sides or whatever. But Tony DeCoppel just asked a question. So in the news meeting this week, Jan Crawford, the legal reporter for CBS, was the only one to speak up. I want to play a little bit of this. We're going to go to the phone lines. Here is Jan Crawford in the CBS News meeting from this week.
I mean, and it's October 7th, first Monday of October, too. And normally I would say happy first Monday, but I feel like, you know, that's totally inappropriate to say on October 7th, you know, first Monday, the day the court returns to the bench. So I guess it sounds like we're calling out one of our anchors in a somewhat public setting on this call for failing to meet editorial standards for, I'm not even sure what. Like, I don't understand how Tony's interview or any of his comments that he's made with anchors fail to, you know, meet our editorial standards that obviously go back to the days of Murrow and you know, Cronkite, which, of course, I thought our commitment was to truth. And when someone comes on our air with a one-sided account of a very complex situation, as Coates himself acknowledges that he has, it's my understanding that as journalists, we are obligated to challenge that worldview so that our viewers can have that access to the truth or a fuller account, a more balanced account. And to me, that is what Tony did. He challenged Coates' worldview, his one-sided worldview. Coates got to respond. It was civil. I mean, I'd have to look this up. I don't know if I'm quoting it exactly, but I read the Washington Post, and they said it was calm and, you know, heartfelt. I think those are the words they used. And so, you know, I don't see how we can say that failed to meet our editorial standards. I mean, I thought our editorial standards focused on, and when we announced this in a public setting, which I understand you say you've addressed it with Tony, I don't know what that even means, but, you know, it's when we fail to, or when we broadcast false information, or we don't adequately verify something, which we have done in the past, and we've acknowledged that. But here, I think Tony did the opposite. He prevented a one-sided account from being broadcast on our network about a deeply complex, as you said, situation that, you know, completely was devoid of history or fact. And as journalists, it seems to me that's what we have an obligation to do. And as someone that does a lot of interviews, including on controversial topics with public figures, you know, I'm not really sure now how to proceed in challenging viewpoints that are obviously one-sided and devoid of fact or history.
That's Jan Crawford. That's Jan Crawford. Stop it there, Zomers. We might come back to it. Jan Crawford, chief legal reporter for CBS News, in this CBS News meeting challenging the head news president of CBS over what Tony DeCopel said. And I thought it was so well spoken and so well said. And now we're going to go to the phone lines in a second. According to The Hollywood Reporter, the chair of Paramount Global, Sherry Redstone, is backing CBS Morning's co-anchor Tony DeCopel after a contentious interview last week. She said, quote, "I frankly think Tony did a great job with that interview. I was very proud of the work he did. Yes, as hard as it was for me to go against the company, I think they made a mistake here." 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. What do you think of the legacy news media, such as CBS, ABC, NBC? Do you think they're getting it right? Or is it the reporters like DeCopel and to a larger degree Jan Crawford who are trying to maintain that Murrow Cronkite standard, and you're getting these entertainment people now trying to take over these legacy news organizations? 855-752-4842. Joe, listening in Milwaukee on WAUK. Joe, thanks for calling in. What say you?
Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to state, too, I feel that those legacy broadcasts, the news broadcasts, they certainly have a liberal bias and have for a long time. But I think what is important that people should remember is that you want to balance your sources. You want to get both sides. You want to make a subjective or objective viewpoint. You have to hear both sides. Mm-hmm. And I think people forget that.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, Joe. Great phone call. Really appreciate it. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. As someone who was trained as a journalist, didn't go to a J school proper, but went to a broadcast. You know, my major was communications and broadcasting. Certainly went through AP news writing, went through journalistic ethics standards. I apply those to this show. Yes, our show is not a straight news product. It's a news talk analysis opinion. But I try the best we can. That's what we say, pursuing the truth. And you can't be completely one-sided if you're pursuing the truth. You have to ask tough questions. And that's all Tony DiCoppola, in my opinion, was doing. Tony on the YouTube saying accuracy and a full understanding of context should be the top concerns of legacy media. It can't all be about access and avoiding upsetting one side or the other for fear of losing access to them. Totally agree. 855-752-4842. L.A. Tom calling in from the West Coast. L.A. Tom, thanks for listening. What say you?
Yeah, Todd, I think that they are all corporate. They're not left or right, but they're corporate. And years ago, when they moved CBS News into the entertainment division, that was part of the downfall of CBS News. When you have Les Moonves, who was the head of CBS, saying that Donald Trump may not be good for the country, but he's damn good for CBS. That right there shows you that there's some place, or there's something else at hand. And I think I think what they need to do is they need to go back to broadcasting news and the public's good and not making it part of the entertainment division. And I think also what they need to do is, you know, they need to make it where advertising is separate from the media, because you'll never hear a media story ever about the, you know, problems with pharmaceutical companies. You'll never hear that. And for the guy that called before that said he thinks that it has a liberal bias, I'm sorry, but that is a old Rush Limbaugh tripe. And I believe that it doesn't have a liberal bias. It doesn't have a conservative bias, but it does have a corporate bias. And they're going to do whatever it is that's good for the corporation at the end of the day. There are people, however, I will say where it does have a liberal bias probably is more on the social issues, whether that's gay marriage, whether that's those types of things. But at the end of the day, they need to get back to asking who, what, when, why, where, and stop with opinions and stop with anything that has close to do with a personal opinion. I think is part of the problem.
I think, you know, we were honored to have, we're out in Los Angeles in your town there covering the USC Badger game. We had Kelly Call on, and mostly the context of this great new movie, by the way, just a bit outside in theaters now, the story of the 82 Brewers, at least for this weekend. So go see it. A great time, a great chance to plug Just a Bit Outside. But of course, Kelly is a former president of CBS Entertainment. And he worked, I know, very well with the then president of CBS News, Susan Zielinski, who was the consultant. That whole show, our movie Broadcast News, the Holly Hunter character was based on Susan Zielinski. And so I think what you bring up, Tom, agree or disagree, is that there are people like, and I don't pretend to know Kelly Call super well or be his best friend, but I've had the opportunity to interview him a couple of times. And I think people like Kelly and Susan Zielinski and now Jan Crawford at CBS, you can have great individuals within a company who try to maintain the integrity and standard. But at the end of the day, to your point, as these organizations become more and more corporatized, if that's a word, that there's a division in missions there, right? Between making money and streaming and good people just trying to bring people the straight news.
Absolutely. Just think about the number of times that they talked about getting money out of politics. That would be never, because that's their advertising dollars that are coming in from politics. With Citizens United and with Buckley versus Vallejo years ago and the Powell Amendment, these are things where you will never hear the corporate media talk about. They'll almost praise the fact that people are putting so much money into a campaign.
Let's appreciate the call, Tom. As always, stay with us. More on the other side. It's the Tylo Ball Show for a Wednesday, October 9th, 2024. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
A new choice. Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX. If you're living with dry age-related macular degeneration or dry AMD, you may be at risk for developing geographic atrophy or GA. GA can be unpredictable and progress rapidly, leading to irreversible vision loss. Now there's something you can do to
slow it down. Get it going slower.
iZurvey is proven to slow GA progression.
iZurvey gets GA going slower.
iZurvey or Avastin Captid Pagel is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. iZurvey can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. iZurvey may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about iZurvey today.
iZurvey gets GA going slower.
Visit iZurvey.com. That's iZurvey.com.
The John and Gordy Show.
How can anybody complain about public education? It's ridiculous. I mean, it's really, really come a long way since I was in school. But at the same time, looking at private schools, that doesn't really help. They don't have a great track record. In fact, they have a horrible track record. They act like because there are some problems with public education, they can ignore all the problems in private education.
Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on 92.7 WMDX and the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Congresswoman Summer Lee.
The American Stability Act doesn't just address the need for raising of the wage. The second thing is that tax reform piece, shifting the burden from the folks who are working class to the not just the 1%, the 0.01% of people who have seen so many benefits in this rigged system, and we have to start to unrig it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
Welcome back to the Tattle Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 9 before the hour of 2 o'clock at the top of the hour, ABC News Radio or CBS News Radio, depending upon which station you're listening to across Wisconsin. And then it will be the Maggie Dawn Show across America, across around the world with the Civic Media app, right? And by the way, great to have Mike Clemens, our great sports reporter, back on the air doing the sports report. I've missed him. And many thanks to Jimmy Cuska for filling in while Mike was away for a little while. And now he's back and things could not be better. So big shout out to Mike Clemens as well. Love hearing his voice back on the Civic Media airwaves. He'll give you a sports update coming up for a minute after the news as well. Talking of news, to finish up the show, this story kind of making headlines around Hollywood and other places. CBS Morning's co-host Tony DeCoppel doing this interview and pushing back on the guest who his side of the Israeli-Palestinian war is pro-Palestinian, which is fine. People are entitled to have their opinions. Nothing wrong with interviewing someone, in my opinion, that has a certain view. But DeCoppel pushed back and tried to simply say, well, what about the other side's view? What about the other point of this? Or I should say other point. What about people who have a different view than you? That's basically what he was saying. In my opinion, as someone who was trained and studied as a journalist, that should be journalism's job if you're doing it well, which I think Tony DeCoppel has. I think that many people in legacy media have, and I think that's my point. I have a bit of empathy, I guess, for some of these reporters and also some of the executives within legacy media who I think are working their tails off to truly bring their viewers, their readers, their listeners, the truth. And now with all this corporatization of different media companies, you have people that don't know anything about broadcasting, that don't know anything, I should say very little, haven't been trained in media and journalism. Maybe I said that wrong. They've been trained in media, but not journalism. And so they're missing the boat when it comes to how you actually incorporate journalistic integrity into reporting. A lot of people who read newspapers or look at newspaper sites and you see the headline. And the headline might be kind of to grab you to click on it if you're reading electronically. And people say, well, that was a terrible headline. I clicked on it and it had nothing to do with the story. That reporter is terrible. But what most people don't know is the reporter almost never writes the headline. That's up to the editor.
I see it all the time where somebody's like, wow, that's a misleading headline. And right. then they go on social media and be like, I did not write the headline.
Right. And I think what we're seeing here is similar to at CBS. Tony DeCoppola just trying to do his job. And thank goodness for Jan Crawford. I mean, I've always liked her as a reporter at CBS on legal matters and other things. But here now, however it happened to happen, we get the audio from this internal CBS meeting. And Jan Crawford could not have been nicer. She wasn't swearing. She wasn't yelling. She was just asking pointed questions to the CBS news chiefs. Look, if Tony DeCoppola, if that isn't what we're here for, to suss out the truth and ask pointed questions, then, like, what am I doing? And the call ended, or that portion of it ended, if you listen to the full 5 minutes or so, with Wendy McMahon, one of the CBS news chiefs, basically saying, I'll give you a call and we'll talk about it privately after this meeting.
Which is exactly what you expect to hear.
From an executive like that, right? So people off the text line, if you want to call in, a couple of minutes left, 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Matt, listening in Middleton on WMDX, says, I would say that corporate media is very kind to the right because they see the American public as center-right and they like low taxes, unquote. Might be a little truth to that, right? I think there's a feeling that certain major news organizations are fearful that if there was a second Trump presidency, that their licenses could get pulled by the FCC under what Project 2025 lays out. And they're not wrong about that. Steve, listening on WAUK in Milwaukee, says, breaking the Logan Act calls for 3 years in prison. Well, Steve, maybe you missed, was it yesterday or the day before, Zomers?
It was yesterday, I believe.
Yesterday, we talked extensively about this in the show. And that's for another day. We'll get back to it with Trigvy. The fact that Donald Trump appears to have broken the Logan Act by talking to Putin after he was out of office. But yes, I agree. Steve, listening in Milwaukee on this subject, says of this corporate media, it's all about these buyouts. The top executives are deciding what Americans are allowed to talk about. We need to stop the monopolies. Again, kind of making my point there, Steve. I think that Tony DeCoppola and Jan Crawford were absolutely right. And I think that what's happening is, as people who are lifelong students of legit media, legit journalism, are being pushed out, for people who are pencil pushers and advertising executives and want to use these legacy news organizations as simply money machines. And they're not remembering what the mission of legacy media originally was. Another listener on MDX says, mainstream media is in the wrong. You shouldn't give Nazis equal time as they continue to do. Trump and his ilk are that. Also, Kurt in Madison, listening on MDX, says, find me someone on the right that will have an honest conversation. Just saying, Kurt says. I think maybe Shepard Smith did at Fox for a while, but he got canned. Neil Cavuto, maybe at Fox sometimes. Anyway, great show, Pat Kreitlow. Thank you very much for being here. Mr. Zomers doing great work as always. And all of you for listening. Whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, do not give up. Keep banging your drum. Stay tuned for Maggie Dawn next.
This is Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Alexander Vindman, who played a big role in Donald Trump's first impeachment trial. Paul Noonan from Acme Packing Company and This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 11.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
She is performing in Wisconsin. Charo, you might want to end up moving here because you're going to have that great of a time in Baraboo. Let me just ask you this. Do you like cheese?
I love the cheese. I'm going to be eating cheese for 24 hours. It's a great... Not really. You have a great reputation with the cheese. Wisconsin cheese is very, very famous.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.